Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Tuesday, August 2nd, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for joining us tonight for American Freedom Watch Radio. This is going to be hosted by Karen Schoen and John Estabrook, and I'm going to pass the show to them in just a minute, but as we always do, it's becoming a tradition on Tuesday evenings, I have to give a short rant before I get them going there. And also, this one tonight's kind of like a public service announcement for people in Florida, especially in Orange County. I was just told by a senior citizen I know that they received a notice from the Orange County property appraiser that they're going to be doing an audit of senior citizens to see if they earn or are entitled to the senior income exemption tax credit kind of thing that they get on their property taxes. And if you're not familiar with this, you can find out over on the Orange County Public Property Appraiser website. It's called Limited Income Senior Exemption. And they're going to be auditing you. And if you do not send in the audit, you will lose the senior limited income senior exemption on your property taxes. And what this person was telling me as they were explaining this to me, they gave me the statute. It's Florida Statute 196.075, and then parens the number 5. And that gives them the authority to just audit you to see whether you're qualified type thing, if you're eligible for this discount. The senior citizen was saying, I wonder if they're going to go audit all the people with EBT cards, all the people with free cell phones, all the illegal immigrants who are getting all the benefits. Why are they harassing senior citizens who happen to own a home? You know, and it really is outrageous.
They're home.
Yeah, exactly. So, and if they're doing this in Orange County, Florida, you can figure they're probably doing it across the state, or they're going to anyway to try to make sure you pay as much. And, you know, that's really the sad part, too, because when it comes down to it, with property, private property, you truly no longer in America have the right to own property, because you always pay taxes, and if you don't pay the taxes, the state takes it away from you, the county or the state, so you only truly rent the property from the state, which is really very unconstitutional, too, when it comes right down to it. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and that just ties
Yeah. Sally, going along with that, not only can you be taxed off your property, the coming over regulation, you know, you can be regulated from any piece of property that you own. I mean, it's under regulation of whether it's a county, a city. So you can not only be taxed off of it, but you can easily be regulated off of it. They can find any number of means, and that's what this is about. And progressive politics say that all things come from the government, and the government is now your master and your ruler, and this is just another attempt to carry out their mission.
That's exactly it. And, you know, little by little, I keep hearing the word banana republic more and more to describe the United States of America. And that's really, I mean, we have no rule of law. Just, I mean, it's outrageous the way they harass the average individual. And I was also told, don't say citizen. Citizen is a bad word these days. You can't say citizen or brown bag in Seattle.
You have to. You can't allow them to control the language. We've allowed them to control the language. Think of this. Citizen, resident. Anybody can be a resident. Not everybody is a citizen.
No, I'll make a joke about Seattle, Washington.
Oh, yes. I know. That's horrible. I've been talking to the people out there. They didn't even know they were going to do this. So, hello, wake up.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's outrageous, and of course I say brown bag. That's what it is. It's a brown-colored bag. It's not purple. It's not red. It's not yellow. If it's plastic, then I call it a plastic bag. And yes, I'm a citizen, whether I like it or not.
Well, that's what we have to keep on doing, and we have to make the correlation with the words. I was thinking about that today. If you are vetting a candidate, most people say to the candidate, do you believe that the Constitution is the law of the land? Oh, yes, I honor the Constitution. I think the Constitution is wonderful. It is absolutely the law of the land. Okay? We stop there. We never ask them, do you interpret the Constitution as a living, breathing document, or do you believe that it is a rock-solid law that must be applied to everyone at all times? And when we don't ask that question, and some of these people get to off it, we are surprised that they act like it's a living, breathing document opened up to their interpretation whenever they feel like whatever they feel like doing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
We have to start talking to the people and saying, we have to make the correlation. We have to put point A with point B and say, you can't. It's very interesting. A lot of the talk show hosts I've noticed, because I had to go back on, I have to start watching them again because I'm running for office and I want to see what they're telling the people. And what I'm realizing is they will always say, here's the problem. And these are the people who are responsible. And then they stop. They never say, here's a solution. They never say, this is how you can fix it, or this is what, no, they never say, here's your action plan, do this, do this, do this, and the results will be that. They always stop. So the people have no idea that Obama is out there screaming at Washington, those mean, evil people in Washington, look what they're doing. They're crushing the little guy. Oh, they're making, oh, they're doing horrible things to the middle class. I'm going to fight for the middle class.
Yeah, right.
He's never in Washington. They don't believe that he has anything to do with what's going
well,
on in Washington.
In economic facts, though, Karen, I mean, this is the most destructive president to the middle class that we've seen since the 1950s. And the reality, and that's what they don't speak about. What are the solutions? And there are none offered. The only people that are offering solutions are on Blog Talk Radio, on Red State Radio, and people that are patriots to the Constitution, the people that are willing to speak the truth and forget the PC world of political correctness. Politics is corrupt. Politics is driven by a corrupt progressive conversation. It's an ideology that is going to destroy the middle class, you know, and our senior citizens, the people, you know, that this is just another attack, like Sally said, on senior citizens to remove them from their private property. And it's just not them. They're just in line. And we can all line up until we become active. And that's the one thing. When you offer solutions, become active and take an active role in your government. Do what Karen's doing. Run for office. Seek out and share the truth. If we don't keep the truth and keep pouring the truth in front of citizens, then this nation is lost.
Well, let me add just one last thing, and then I'll hand it over to you guys to finish off. Last Thursday's show, I called it the Enumerated Powers Act 2013. And I went out there, and I mean, I was listening to Rand Paul and Senator Rand Paul and Senator Tom Coburn, who were out there on the Senate floor talking about it. This Enumerated Powers Act first started like back in, I think it was 1998. It was either 98 or 94, way back when it was first presented in the Senate. And somebody presents it every single year, and in this case, the something like 24 Republicans co-sponsored it. Absolutely no Democrat co-sponsored it. And all it says, and this tells you so much about the banana republic we have become, all it says is that before we go and pass law, we will review it for constitutional legitimacy. You know, it's also say, do we have the authority to pass such legislation? Does this follow the guidelines of the Constitution? And they won't do it.
I got a question. How come we didn't know about this? If they were going to pass something like this and they wanted support, they would have turned around and said, yo, this is what we're doing. Call your senator. Call your representative. They don't do that. So you got to now look at, okay, what does that mean and what should we be paying attention to that they're going to do to us now?
Rand Paul did send out an email. He sent out an email telling everybody to call their senators and tell them to support it. And I believe Coburn did something similar. It's obviously on their website stuff. But I did get an email from Rand Paul's group or whatever.
Right, because that
to do
is
it, so.
Exactly what we need to get out there. And
yeah.
This is a perfect tool to ask.
Where's the media?
Anybody that's gonna be elected, do you support this?
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Where's the media? When you look at the efforts of guys like Rand Paul, Tom Coburn, Ted Cruz, and they are making violent efforts. I mean, if we think that we feel victimized, what do you think that those men that are up there confronting the evil of Washington, D.C. on a daily basis, you know, they're there, they're in the middle of the fight. Why is it that our media, news people, why aren't they reporting? I mean, here's the thing. When you see all of the garbage that comes out of MSNBC, NBC, it doesn't matter. Even Fox does not offer solutions. And that's what this nation has. We have to stand up and we have to hold these guys accountable. And when something like that comes forward, hold the media accountable and say, hey, where are you? You know, why should I have to be on Rand Paul's website to be able to get an email to even find out what's taking place? And the fact that these guys recognize if we don't hold every piece of legislation to the Constitution, and if we don't, that's a violent effort. That's an effort that would stop some of the craziness. But there's so much, Sally and Karen, that's going on right now. When I think about Benghazi, I think about the Internal Revenue Service. I think about the Department of Justice going in and seizing, you know, and actually, you know, taking unconstitutional acts against news reporters, and nothing is being done to hold them accountable. And then we have the Republicans who have the power of the purse. We have a Congress. Our representatives in Congress can shut down every single agency that is operating outside of the constitutional boundaries of this nation. And they take no actions. They are not holding accountability. There should be special counsels already in place to investigate and share the truth with the American people on
they
what took place
gone.
In Benghazi. They're using it as a selling chip.
They have no desire to do that. Because
no,
doing that
absolutely none.
They are working together, and this is how
yes.
you do that test, by doing something like this. And then by
yeah.
asking, what we have to develop, I believe, are the right questions. Because people go out and they go, oh, yeah, the man, wow, he said he believes in the Constitution, wow. Well, okay, you know, we know what will happen with that one. If we don't start connecting them and saying, this happened because of this, this happened because
yeah.
of this. If we don't start doing that, the people are isolated and they don't get it because they don't ever see a connection of anything. And all of this stuff that's going on is designed not to connect them. That video between this past week, we had Andre Luani telling everybody that we are gonna, if we don't like what they're doing, they'll crush us. That we have no business having meetings, we have no business owning property, we have no business doing anything. Miami, Florida should become part of Cuba, and Florida should become part of Latin America. And fascism is the best thing in the world, and if you don't like it, there's the door. But nobody will care about you. And then we had Diane Feinstein, who went in front of the Senate floor and told everybody that the homeland, and I'm listening to this and I'm going, oh, sounds like fatherland. The homeland is now going to consist of Canada, the United States, and Mexico, and that will be in the NSA's capability. Now, think about all of this. I had a theory, so that's what I wanted to talk to you about. This is my theory. Think about what you said with Benghazi. They just found out that they were running guns. What a surprise.
This
we also found out that Valerie Jarrett gave the order to not go and defend the embassy. Now, there's 20 other embassies in the Middle East. Each one of those embassies, I would imagine, has lots and lots of correspondence and emails and things on computers in logs, in whatever, in photos, in videos, in whatever. Now, if I was government, man, we need a crisis like a terrorist plot so that we can clean out those embassies and send in our cleanup squad, and they can get everybody's fingerprints and bugs and whatever is out of the building before we say, oh, we are so fortunate that the NSA is listening to everybody's phone calls because a carousel from Yemen called somebody in the United States. And we got them and we foiled the plot so everybody can go back. They can go back home again and they can go back to their embassy. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and they'll all be swept clean, Karen. And that's exactly what all of this is about. Don't think that they don't know the loop in the American people are waking up and demanding the truth and the answers. And trust me, it'll be destroyed. It'll be shredded. It'll be deleted. Hard drives will be taken out. And for fools not to understand that's a huge part of what's taking place with this all of a sudden we're in a red alert. Yeah, why, folks?
Yeah,
why the Middle East? Why the embassy? Yeah,
let's kill a few million people. We need to get rid of them anyway. It won't make any difference. Let's see, where should we sacrifice so that we can beat our shirts and say, yay, Al-Qaeda did it, we did it.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a caller who seems to want to join this discussion. Let's see here. The last four digits, 8692, you're on the air.
Hi, Karen. This is Ernest Lee with the Thousand Mile March for Liberty.
Oh, yes, Ernest. Well, I am so glad you were able to join us. John and Sally, this is Ernest, and Ernest is on a Thousand Mile mission, which he's going to tell you about. It's incredible, and your picture is wonderful, and we're going to send it out. So tell everybody what you're doing, Ernest. This is a big surprise.
Let's see. With Patrick told me to call in about this time. So my name is Ernest Blee. I'm a 57-year-old truck driver originally from Memphis, Tennessee. I'm a husband, proud father of four, prouder grandfather of five. I'm a patriot. And during the last 5 years, I became so frustrated and enraged by the destruction of America by our elected non-representing representatives, I decided somebody needs to do something. I am somebody, and starting July the 4th, I took the first step on the 1,000-mile march for liberty to Washington, D.C.
Fantastic.
Isn't that amazing? I imagine you must have phenomenal stories of people that you met. Where did you start?
Well, I started actually in a Veterans Park in Bartlett, Tennessee, which is part of the Metro Memphis, Tennessee area. And I'm on U.S. highways. I'm not allowed to walk and pull my wagon mounted with the American flag on the interstates. I literally left Memphis one fat, angry, bald truck driver, and I left with an iPhone. I left with a wagon with an American flag mounted to the back of it, a big flag. Camping supplies, water, et cetera, and started walking. And in the process, my Facebook page, 1,000 Mile March, and that is the numeric use of the number 1,000, 1000 Mile March, and my website, same name, 1000milemarch.com, through those two devices there, with the iPhone, the wagon, and the flag, I have managed to start a grassroots political movement with over 80,000 followers, and we're going to bust, we're going to quadruple that number.
I know.
It's amazing. It's a rallying point for like-minded patriots. It's not about me. I'm really not that important other than being the symbol to prove that one person can make a difference because an avalanche will start with one snowflake.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's what has now. Let's make the correlation, which we've just been talking about. Why don't the people understand that? Because that's not being taught in school. So we have to do what we can do to cause everybody's attention to that, but then we have to go look at the cause and fix it. Otherwise, just saying this is the problem doesn't get us anyplace.
No,
and that's the hard part. Like you're doing, we have to do something. Each one of us has to do something.
You have to break your complacency, be ready to get off the couch, put down the remote, and actually start doing, telling, and letting people know, because the biggest problem in this country right now is not that we really have a majority that agree with the progressive elitist agenda that's been created and held over us. That, I don't believe that's the truth.
It's not.
It's a lie.
You're right on.
It is
a lie. We've already proved that.
And
what 70 to 80% of the population believes that something is wrong and that the leadership is bad. But they don't know what to do.
Here's the separation, Karen. The one thing that you did and are doing is you are active. You're taking action.
Mm.
And when we, and you said now you've got 80,000 followers on your website and your Facebook page, those 80,000 now have to take action. You know, and sometimes we make it so simple, the solution of action, of picking up the phone call, letting your representative and your senator know that you won't take it anymore. But those actions, you know, are not going, every one of us, When I think of the other side, and I think of their violent protest, and I think of the numbers of them that are arrested in protest, and you do not step from the 80% majority of the conservative patriots in this nation, good God-fearing people, citizens that know there's something wrong. There's something wrong in education. There's something wrong in Washington. There's corruption. It's in the news every single day, but yet citizens are not driven to action. And God love you and God bless your efforts. I mean, that's amazing to me.
Well, sir, let me share with you both what I find out here literally on the road, going door to door, talking to people. As a former truck driver, I'm getting an amazing support from the truck driving community. I had a donor print up 1000milemarch.com bumper stickers, and the truckers will take them for us, and they're putting them on their trucks. They're rolling billboards. Our numbers continue to grow. But let me explain. Like you say, people have to do something, and it's much more than just having to do something. They have to know that there is a rallying point and there is a plan. The overpasses for Obama's impeachment, while they were expending a lot of energy, and I applaud them for their action and for the fact that they did get hundreds of thousands of people nationwide to make a point and make a statement, that is wonderful, but there is so much more to do. If you'll visit my website, 1000milemarch.com, you'll see that besides being just an old, bald, fat, angry truck driver, I've got a list of things that can be done, and some pretty big plans. But I will invite folks to take a look. I won't try and go into it because there's lots of details, lots of things that need to be changed, and the changes need to be done as quickly as possible in order to save the nation. Because if our Constitution is not already dead, it's drawing its last breath and is being strangled by big, intrusive, abusive governments.
Let me add something to the government, because the one thing we can't leave out of this are the large corporations. Our government is not functioning as a representative government because it's being controlled by money and greed and the power of these corporations that are now in bed. And you know, that's fascism and Marxism and all the isms. When you get corporations that are controlling the power and going against the will of the people in joint effort with the government, then, buddy, we better stand up and if there's actions to be taken. You know, I got an email today about somebody, you know, the Article 5 in the Constitution, the fact that the citizens, if we want term limits, we don't have to have Congress pass a law. We can have our states, two-thirds of all of the states and the people in the states can pass term limits and demand it of these guys. These guys, hey, they think they rule us, and their numbers are growing short because their tyranny, they're traitors. They're traitors to the Constitution. They've sold out the Constitution, and that's criminal. If you and I were to take criminal actions like this, say 30 years ago, you'd have been in a penitentiary. They would have never allowed it. And why are we sitting back and allowing a president who's operating outside of the Constitution to continue to have any power or say-so in this nation? And it's because of lack of, we're not taking action.
The problem with that is what we were just talking about. We have allowed them to control our language, and they manipulated it by saying the same thing and having different meanings. So what I'm attempting to do is say, okay, if we're going to do anything, we've got to all play by the same rules. Because when you ask somebody, again, if you ask somebody if they're in favor of the Constitution and they say, yes, I am, then people never ask them, do you believe it is the law of the land and it doesn't get changed regardless of who the heck you are? Or do you believe that it changes and you can buy it and do whatever you want with it? We never ask that question. And by not asking that question, we don't get to know the people that we have running for office.
Well, here's the thing, Karen. We have criminals in office.
We do. And listen to
the seriousness of that statement. They are criminals.
They all need to go. They all need to go. But you got.
Yeah, they all need to go, but they need to go to jail.
Yes, they do. But they're not going to go to jail unless the right people are in office. Unless the right people are in office. And right now, you have a Republican party.
Y'all, pardon me for a minute. I think I can sum it up for you. It doesn't matter what party they belong to. If they do not abide by their oath to our Constitution, we the people need to tell them, you're fired.
Well,
that's
the whole thing, and it's getting the people to realize they have that power and control because they have no clue. Most of them can't even read, and the best thing they would like to do is sit on the couch and watch some stupid whatever.
Right, I understand. One last point that I want to make, and I will leave y'all with it, reminding folks of the website. And sir, what was your name, sir? Larry? Is that?
No, John Estabrooks.
John. Yes. You and I are twin sons of different mothers, I can tell. the 1,000-mile March for Liberty ends September 2nd with featured speaker Senator Ted Cruz. Ben Carson's been invited. I've got Colonel Harding, one of the most decorated people ever in our military, coming to speak. But at the end of the Take Back America rally, September 2nd in Washington, D.C., I'm going to add zeros to this 1,000-mile march. Now, I'm going to go motorized, but I've made two vows. Number one, to not rest all the way through 2016 until we have cleansed the legislative and executive branch of government of anybody that's had anything to do with Obamacare, ever. And number two, to have the states call the Article 5 Convention. And, sir, please go to my website, 1000milemars.com. Please send me an email. Let you and I stay in touch. Ms. Karen, thank you so much for letting me come onto your show.
Oh, it is a pleasure. And I want to tell you, I will talk to you after. I want to tell you the initiative that we're running that I think will help unite the people, because the people have to talk to each other, and that's the biggest problem.
Yes.
We don't talk to each other. We don't communicate. We wind up talking to like-minded people, not people who we really need to talk to. And
let me tell you something, Karen. We've got to rally the like-minded people. And that's what this and that's why I applaud this effort.
Yes.
A 1,000-mile walk for
it's fabulous. Yes,
that's fantastic.
It's a wonderful.
I look forward
thing
to seeing you on September 2nd. I will find a way to be in Washington D.C.
Sir, I look forward to shaking your hand, Miss Karen.
Great
thank
deal.
You so much for
pleasure.
A chance to talk to your audience, and just have everybody. Have everybody come join the march. You can join it virtually online or on Facebook, either one. Thank y'all for your time.
How cool.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. God bless your effort.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Just so you know, I did post that out there on the chat room. I post the website and the Facebook page,
oh,
so people
you.
Have that link out
fantastic,
there.
Fantastic, sir.
Thank
and,
you. That's fabulous. How cool is that? I think
that's
so great.
Well, now
I do
now
see
that
your
I've
other guest
my...
is out here as well.
Hey, Karen, I'm going to have to excuse myself, and I really, I am so pleased that, you know, it takes an individual making that kind of effort and action, and when we all unite, then we can turn this around, and we know the solutions, and we just have to keep pounding people with the truth. And God bless you, Karen, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. Sally, thank you so much, and guys, stay at it. We can't do anything but share the
yes.
truth.
United we stand.
United
there you go, dear.
Right.
Okay, and I'm not sure if you caught that, but we do have Neil on the line now.
Okay, hang on, and let's come on. John, I forgot. we never really said who we are today, and
that was me. I got the rant going.
And we got into the rant, which was great. I love it. and we're brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on RedStatesBookRadio.com. Please visit our website. There are some wonderful shows that tell the truth, and that's what we need to do more than anything else in the world. We need to tell the truth. So, with that, hello, Neil.
Hi, how is everybody?
I am great. John is
hey.
Here.
Oh, hi, John, Sally. That guy was remarkable.
Yes, isn't that wonderful?
I mean, it is incredible what he's doing. I mean, if we could get people to do a third of what he's doing,
yes.
What an accomplishment that would be. But, boy, I'm sure proud of him and would love to meet him. I will check out his website.
Oh, cool. Great. Great. Yeah. Well, Ms. Neil, we've had quite a week, haven't we, in Florida land?
Oh, yeah.
John, do
yeah.
you know what's going on with our sheriff, our governor fired? Somebody is calling on the other line, but Neil. Tell John what's going on here. Hello?
Is John still there?
It's Karen. I'm in the States. You're supposed to be on next week. I see that.
John had to drop off the line.
Okay, well, I think John had to leave, so we'll...
Right.
We will carry on the conversation. John,
yeah, he was called away for his duties of the job.
Yes, John is at a convention, and folks, it is very, very sad. Very sad, because the president is closing oil fields, giving the oil rights to foreign countries, closing coal mines, because on the one hand, while he is out there telling the people how he's fighting for the middle class, his regulatory agencies are making regulations to push up prices so high that the middle class won't be able to afford them. And then he can come to the middle class and he can say, oh, I'm fighting for you. What do you want me to do? And the middle class says, oh, we want jobs. And nobody says, we want you to stop those regulations. We want you to pull back. And we want you to make us put the people in jail that did this. And by the way, you could take the first step. So that's what we really want. But, Neil, this is really bad.
No, it is. It is. One thing I'd like, for every show that you have on, I would definitely like to have a mention of the smart grid bill,
yes,
of the H.R. 75,
yes,
and have people contact their representatives.
Let's take one at a time so we can describe them, because this is very important, folks. If you don't know the bills that are being passed, then it's hard to tell people whether or not you are in favor of them, and when you don't tell them, they vote the way they want. And when they vote the way you want, they want, you can't be mad if you didn't tell them what to do. So let's tell them what to do, but you have to learn about it first. So there are a couple of bills in Congress and in the Senate that we want to make sure loud and clear that we want heard. But before we do those two, I wanted to mention that your legislators are going to be home month of August. Many of them will be pushing immigration because they think it is a wonderful thing and they've got to get those 11 million people, be still my heart, and the Dreamers, be still my heart, who are now demonstrating in the Florida Capitol for the fourth week, which I think has cost us almost about $400,000 to $500,000. So this is how much they care about us. And they're not going to leave until their situation is addressed. Well, folks, every time they do that, I want you to think about this. The president just closed 19 embassies. We have a high terror alert all over the Middle East. Switzerland told their people, do not travel to the United States. We are being told that the NSA and the TSA have to grope and stroke more Americans because we are on a high terror alert. Is that not correct? Think about that. And then think about this. The borders are wide open, and Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, and anybody else who feels like blowing us up into oblivion, putting poison in our food or in our water, killing us in the name of Allah Akbar, is walking in very nonchalantly right over the porous border while you are being groped and struck. Neil, does that make sense?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
How did you answer that? How do you answer that? That is like putting a postage stamp on the Empire State Building. It doesn't make sense. What do they think is going to happen? Some idiot is going to carry something in a 2-ounce bottle of whatever through an airport? Why would they want to do that when they can walk across the border, go to any mosque, and learn how to make one? If they don't know already, from all the ingredients that we sell.
And neither party has any incentive and hasn't for decades.
Nope.
Decades
to
close those borders.
Beyond Clifton. And I want to remind everybody that Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood are very, very, very together on two things. One, wipe out Israel. Two, wipe out America and fly the Muslim flag over the White House in 2015. They haven't changed from that, either side. Oh, and now let's get on to the bills that are in the Senate.
Yeah, the smart grid bill, H.R. 2685.
Write that one down, folks. 2685. An email will go out later on in the week. Okay, Neil, tell us. Every time I think about this one, it is equally as stupid if they can't close the borders, how are they going to manage a smart grid?
Well, here is my theory on this. I've been to several meetings in Tallahassee on smart meters, and I have spoken on occasion. And these power companies, they're all behind what's going on with the United Nations and all the other organizations involved. FPL, Progress Energy, which is now Duke Energy, all of them. GE, of course, we're well aware of. That they don't even pay taxes. But, yeah, they weren't getting anywhere, and they were getting a lot of backlash from every individual state. So they've gone to Washington, and they've lobbied, and they are pushing this smart grid bill. Now, keep in mind that the smart grid is going to mandate that every citizen in this country will have smart meters on any type of energy. And it's going to include your water. Even if you have a well, they are going to put a smart meter on it. If you have gas or electric, you will have a smart meter. The radiation, the health hazards from these things, and whether you want them or not, they are coming on your property. Many people have them now and don't even know they have them. They don't want to close these borders because that smart grid is going to link up with Mexico and Canada, and we will become, it'll be another step for us to be the North American Union, just like in Europe.
And Diane Feinstein showed that map which you sent, which I thought was a joke when I saw this, because immediately went off in my head, oh, the fatherland. Where have I heard that before?
Yep. This is what this is all about, a global movement again.
Yep.
Another global movement.
Here they are back again. So this is so incredibly dangerous. We do not want this bill to see the light of day.
Who was that senator that I sent you that, I forgot her name, Sheehan or?
Sheehan.
That spoke on the Senate floor. And she's speaking on this energy efficiency bill. And she's saying how it will take 5 million cars off the road.
Yes, I saw that, and I thought that was really nice, and that single-family homes will no longer be sustainable. Who the hell do they think they are? Well, we know what this is. And the problem is people don't make the connection, and the next connection is, where is all this coming from? Because there's only one place, and it's coming right out of the United Nations, filtered through UNESCO, UNESCO, United Nations Education, Science, and Conservation Committee, into our schools years ago. So now these poor sheeple believe what they're saying. It's true, and that's the scary part.
One thing I would like to mention here, this is leading a little ways away, but I can't help but say this. For everyone that is listening, come the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton is running.
Oh, God forbid, you should be
I want everyone to look up Bill Clinton's sustainable council that he did with every agency in this country, agricultural, education, everything possible. And then he threw in the Sahara Club and the Nature Conservancy. All of these were sent out, and every state is to do sustainable development. Hillary Clinton says she is a progressive. When you hear that word progressive, stop right there, because it means she's a socialist. And a socialist, for those who are listening, is communism. There is no question about it. You can look it up. It's there. And for anyone that wants to vote for her to make her the first skirt in the White House, let's please remember she wears pantsuits, first of all. What a reason to elect someone that wants to lead this country where her husband left off. So we will be a global country with the United Nations, and it will be communism, and it will all be about power, money, and control, and your life is going to be over. After Obama, if she gets in there, this country is going to rapidly go downhill.
First of all,
there's no question.
I don't even want to go there, because a lot can happen between now and then. That woman belongs in jail. She had four people killed. Even though Valerie Jarrett, we now find out, is pulling the strings. So anybody that is meeting with any one of their legislators, the only thing you should be talking about is putting the man and the woman in the White House in jail. Valerie Jarrett is not in a position to make those decisions.
No.
And if they can't figure that out, they do not belong in office, because that is in the Constitution big time. Big time. He was out having a fancy dinner. What did he do? That's not what he was paid to do. He was paid to protect the people in this country. And now all he is doing is stripping it and lying. He is a liar.
It's amazing how he wants to go after Snowden for putting our security and our country in danger, when this man has given more information and more help to the enemy than I don't know anyone else who has.
Oh, yes. You are absolutely right. First of all, so that we get this 100% straight, Obama is a Muslim.
Yes.
His father was a Muslim. In the Muslim religion, the man dictate the religion of the child. Once you are a Muslim, you don't get to unbe a Muslim, because they chop your head off.
That's right. They don't
like it when you leave the Muslim religion. They're not happy with people who leave the Muslim religion. So it is highly unlikely that the two times that he went to church and said whatever, that he actually meant anything, because the other part of the Muslim religion is you can lie, and it's okay, because the ends justify the means. Where have we heard that before?
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway,
okay,
just so your callers do not forget, the smart grid bill, it is before Congress. They are on recess. Contact them. Send them postcards. Don't do it just once. Do it once a week. Call them, tell them not to vote for this. This is a global action, and it is going to cost trillions to do this. And who do you think is going to end up paying it? It's not free. Well, most liberals think that it's free, and I just wanted to clear that up. Okay, then the other bill that needs to be co-sponsored, and this is in Congress, and it's H.R. 75. This bill, in my opinion, would solve probably 70% of our problems in this country. And that is to get this country out of the United Nations. Why would anyone want to give billions to a communist, Marxist dictatorship organization is
beyond me.
Now,
that is a good vetting question. Because if the person that is sitting in front of you who says, I believe in America and I am going to, you know, rah, rah, rah for America, and they cannot say to you when you say, will you vote or will you sign a bill to get the United States out of the United Nations and defund the UN program? And if they cannot say to you 100% without blinking an eye, yes, then don't vote for them. Vote for somebody else.
Yep.
Because if they can't do that, they're not protecting you.
But please call your representative and ask him to co-sponsor this bill. We are getting a little bit of momentum on this. And don't be afraid to send a postcard. You don't have to sign it if you don't want to, although my hat's off to you if you do. I even put my address and my phone number on mine. I want them to call me.
What was the number on that one for the United Nations again? H.R.?
75.
Okay, I've been posting these out in the chat room for people and links to them and things like that, so it's out there as well.
Oh, good, wonderful. Thank you.
But it would, if people knew more about what's going on with the UN, there's a lot of people out there that do and understand it. 70% of the problems we have in this country, and I'm even talking money, big-time money, we have spent trillions on these programs that the United Nations are working and doing in this country. Trillions. That's your money. Why you're out of a job. Why we can't afford anything in this country. Why children are going to bed hungry. All these problems could be solved. I don't mind helping out other countries. The only problem is they give this money to the leaders. And they're communists. They're dictators. And do you truly in your heart think that they are helping their people with the donations that we give their country?
Well, I have a surprise for you. You know those 45 million mansions that they have all over the place? That's where the money goes. That's what it's funding. It's not going to the people. This is I always ask everybody this, you know. You know, if you think back, 1946, and count forward, how much money America gave to the United Nations? Billions, trillions of dollars. I would think world poverty, world hunger, world education would be off the charts, incredibly fantastic. But instead, we see monarchs that rape people, steal, chop off heads, kill, whatever they want to do, enslave their people, get more money, and their people are more enslaved, and now this has come full circle to America.
That's
exactly what's going on. How dare, I just read an article that Mrs. O claimed Malia and Sasha as senior aides on the trip to Africa so she wouldn't have to pay for them. How cheap are these people? This is disgusting.
That's what I'll have to do next time.
This is unbelievable.
No, as far as helping out other countries, my heart goes out. I have been to a few third world countries. But these are great people, and the majority of them, they are very happy. They have nothing. But they're happy. They're not involved with their government. But the thing of it is, for decades, we've been giving to countries money instead of making sure that it went to something to where the people got it to help them. They are getting almost no help with the hundreds of billions of dollars that go to individual countries. They're getting nothing out of it.
Absolutely. And
I mean, the United States doesn't need the UN. We could do this on our own and do it better.
Of course we could, but then we couldn't steal from them. And that's what the real shame is, because because they go to these countries, they make a deal with the dictator, they tell the dictator, you're going to have to build a sustainable blah, 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 with high-speed rail and the this and the that, the fancy this and the fancy that. And instead of you being able to actually build houses for the people that live there, you've got to build all this fancy other garbage, and we're going to bring in people from here and people from there and people from all over the place, and we're going to give you a loan, a grant to do it. Well, a third of the way through the grant, when the money runs out, and there is no money, the corporations come in, and they say, don't worry, we will help you, you poor country. Let me see, what do they have? Oh, they have diamonds, they have gold, they have minerals, they have oil, they have coal, they have who knows? They've got plenty of that great stuff in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of it. And so they go to the dictator and they say, not to worry, we'll lend you the X number of dollars at a 1% rate loan, and you'll collateralize 4,000 acres in blah, blah, blah section in the middle of the oil field. Okay? And the dictator says, okay. And all of a sudden it gets to be 2 years into the project, and the project isn't off the ground yet, but the money is already spent. And they have to go back again. And then the bankers say, we'll be happy to make another loan. But you know what? That original property, you're going to have to deed it over to us as a good faith deposit. And very slowly the people of that country lose their land. And that's the story of America. That's what's going on here, too. We're no different. This is exactly what they're doing. Only here it's worse because they're using our money. They're using our money over there, too. But here we're giving them the money to do it to ourselves. It doesn't compute. But then I realized, Neil, that the people don't understand this.
No, they don't, and it's so sad. I can remember a long time ago, I used to say to my uncle, and 20 years ago maybe almost it was, that if we knew one-tenth of what this government did,
oh my God,
we couldn't stand it. And now I know more, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah, it gets worse and worse and worse instead of better and better and better. And this is American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Please visit our website, Agenda21Today.com, AmericaIsMyName.com, and KarenShone.com. I've decided to be vocal and put my articles on a website, and this way people can find me rather than not. So that's my newest venture. But anyway, yes, those two. And then please sign the Obamacare. This is the most insane nonsense of anything that I have ever seen in my life. All the House has to do is say, no funding, no money, go away. That's all they have to say. And it's done. Dragging this out through the, what do they call that, the 11th hour, just shows that they have to follow the same plan of the Hegelian dialectic. They have to create the crisis. They have to have the people scream, and then they will act. So I guess we have to wait for the act part. But please, if you have not signed the Obamacare petition, and call your elected official and visit them when they are home and tell them no Obamacare. And I know it's a hard thing when some people have done well, but let me remind you who you are dealing with, because you will only do well for this year until the election. When the election is over, you will not do well, because all of these subsidies and waivers that you have been receiving, you will have to pay.
Oh, yeah, let me give your listeners just a small example. our Board of Commissioners had talked for over an hour, and it was on the Obamacare and how it was going to affect them. They have no money, of course, and how they're going to pay for the employees in Taylor County for their medical to be covered. So they have come up with the idea, well, we're going to have to raise taxes. And the constituents are going to have to pay for the added cost, which will go up every year for the first 4 years. And never once did they mention what a position they're going to put their constituents in that have got to take care of their own Obamacare for themselves, their families. Don't care about that. They just want to make sure that they are covered. And now that Obama has taken that back for a year, they just announced a week ago that they're not going to do that right now. But as soon as he puts it into play, they are going to raise our county taxes to pay for their medical.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that lovely?
And this is going to be across the country. Everybody's going to be doing it.
Yes, they are. Exactly,
I don't know how you can pay for your own and pay for someone else's due. I haven't figured that one out yet.
No, that's okay, Neil. They'll just take it out of your check and they'll just make your... What do they do? The poor little children. They won't have any food if you don't do this. And those
poor little animals.
They won't have any food.
I hate to interrupt you there, but I do want you to know that your guest is on now.
Wonderful. And, Neil, you're welcome to stay with us. I am very proud to have with us Pastor Stephen Brodin from Texas. And please join us. Rather than me telling everyone your websites and leaving something out, please share that information. And thank you so much for joining us this evening.
It is my pleasure to be with you. I'm listening to your conversation and finding it absolutely necessary for your listeners and America to know the impact of this draconian piece of legislation that has been crammed down our throats by Justice Roberts. But my website is c.x, that's c.dot.x.com. And I'm with a group I started called the Constitutional Defenders of Texas, where our goal, our mission, is to hold our elected officials to uphold, to fulfill their oath, that is to protect our Constitution from foreign and domestic enemies, and to ensure that legislation and policies that are coming out of Washington, D.C. are consistent with the principles found within the Constitution. The Constitution was written to limit government and not the people. Somehow we've got it turned on its head, where the government is expanding and our rights and our liberties guaranteed to us in the Constitution as articulated in the Declaration of Independence is in jeopardy right now in America. In fact, what you ladies are talking about now, the bottom line is that there is a deliberate attempt on the part of this administration and our government, all three branches, the executive branch, the House of Congress, and the Supreme Court, to destroy the middle class in America. And we are under jeopardy now, and middle class Americans are feeling the pinch as they've never felt it before. That's not accidental. That's deliberate.
That is absolutely right, and for that reason, we just had a conversation before that what has happened over time is that we have allowed the progressives to control the vocabulary, and they change the definitions for the groups of people that they work with. So when you talk to people, you could be thinking that you're talking about one thing when you may be talking about one thing, and I may be talking about something entirely different, but they're basically the same words. So by the end of the conversation, you wind up not talking to each other because you're having an argument because you can't understand why he doesn't agree with your viewpoint.
You are a brilliant lady. What you're talking about is a dialectic.
Yes.
And what we are witnessing is a Hegelian dialectic.
The dialectic, right.
That's being perpetrated on Americans right now, who are oblivious to the fact that we are under a deliberate attempt on the part of the progressive movement in America to flip us into a socialistic paradigm, and it's being done through the dialectic of Hegel. What Hegel proposed is, one, create the problem, two, control the reaction to the problem, and three, offer a solution to the problem. Every synthesis is the thesis of the new dialectic. In other words, what we see is a thesis that is opposed by an antithesis, and then the two compromise, and it comes up what is called a synthesis. So you've moved away from the original intent, which is in the thesis. You've compromised into the antithesis, and you produce a synthesis, and then what happens? That synthesis becomes the new thesis. And now another antithesis comes up, and now we're seeing a move constantly away from the original and moving towards a new dynamic synthesis that does not have to change anymore. That's Hegelism, and that's what's being perpetrated on America right now. We're constantly moving to the left.
Yep.
Because we don't have anybody on the right that has a backbone.
We realize we have the ability to change that. But the problem is, I'm realizing that the vocabulary, what we're doing wrong, is I believe we're not defining the words. So when you say to somebody, I believe in limited government, their head goes, oh, my God, you're going to take away my blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to have anything. How am I going to live? How am I going to exist? You're mean. Why are you taking that away from me? Because they don't understand what limited government means. And
right.
We don't explain it, which is worse. So we go to a point, and then they stop, and they never continue. So the people who would probably agree with you have no idea what you're talking about. Because they've been fed the antithesis, and that's their norm. Well, you're still working on the thesis.
Right, you're right, but that antithesis has been deliberately inserted into the conversation, into the discourse, in order to facilitate the synthesis, and that is exactly what has happened with the progressive movement in America. They know precisely what they're doing. In fact, you know Antonio Gramsci, who was a communist philosopher, who said that we're going to destroy the West through incrementalism and gradualism by infiltrating their institutions. Well, they've infiltrated every institution in America. Every institution. When you think of the institutions of America, what do you think of? I think of business. I think of the political institution. I think of the church. And I think of family.
Okay,
and
now,
these guys have infiltrated all four of those institutions, unless you can think of another, academia.
What is the one thing that you could have for 5 to 8 years that everybody in America would have the same of if you wanted them to? And that's the thing that people don't realize, because that's the school. And if you take the school and you make it into the program, and all you're doing is programming the people, then you've got this core of people who act like slaves or drones or whatever, because that's all they know. And we're reaching that point now, and that's the biggest problem. And I have a solution, which is something I wanted to talk to you about. As a teacher, when I was a teacher, I heard last week, I did not realize how bad this was, but I heard last week, actually 3 weeks ago, during the Zimmerman trial, Rachel Gentile said, under oath, I cannot read, sir. I cannot read and write cursive writing. And I said, what? What do you mean? Well, all of a sudden, it starts coming out that cursive writing is not taught in school anymore. That's true. We know that there is a crisis in America, and it's called reading. We know there's a crisis, and it's called communication. So we've got to do something so that we begin to talk to each other and we can trust each other again. And if you take a look at the demographics of the Tea Parties, they're mostly seniors. Why are there no younger people there? Because they were taught in school that seniors don't know anything. They're stupid. They're old school. They're never going to catch up with you. Why are you bothering with them? They don't know anything. If you need something answered, we'll tell you in school. So they took the family and they shoved it away. Then what happened was the rift began to start, and now you got the seniors who are now becoming the target. Well, if we don't start communicating with the juniors, then our knowledge will disappear, because a lot of the documents that we have, the originals, are in cursive writing. Family documents, old family documents, old religious documents, old American history documents, all of our documents are in cursive writing. Wouldn't you love to see the liberals' interpretation of Thomas Jefferson and how close he is to Ho Chi Minh? That was really exciting when I saw that one. That's what they're doing. Shea is wonderful. Now is terrific. And we're not paying attention.
Well, you're absolutely right. There's so many battles that are out there for us to fight.
Let's take one of the simplest ones. If neighbors, the fastest way to gather people is in your neighborhood. And that's what they have been accomplishing for years and years and years. What would be wonderful, and I called one of the ministers in the church up here, I said, look, I'm a teacher, and I just heard that people can't read and write cursive writing. We need to bring that back, because, first of all, in elementary school, that's eye-hand coordination, and that helps them read better. Maybe that's why we're having a reading problem. And cursive writing is your identity. It's your identifier. A computer can copy your writing, but they can't anticipate your writing. So nobody knows your next signature except you when you write it. So it takes away your identity. And then, of course, all our documents are old and in cursive writing, so they can change anything they want. They could eliminate gods and history, and nobody would know. So
let me say this. I think you've identified a very real problem that exists, and certainly I think it is the attitude of most superintendents who are responsible for curricula and what's going on inside these schools. I've sat with the one here in Dallas, Texas, and it was brought to his attention that kids are not learning cursive writing. He says, well, we live in a digital age. Everything is on a computer. We don't need cursive writing. And my wife raised the question. She says, what about signing a contract to buy a home?
That's right.
But, you know, what about that?
What about during the hurricane when you have no electricity?
Yeah, let me finish the thought. Although this is an urgent matter, and certainly is one that we should pay attention to, and I think you're right. You start with what is the most urgent and what is the most threatening of circumstances, and certainly what we're seeing coming out of Washington, D.C., with NDAA, which is the forced illegal detention of a person and the violation of our 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th Amendment, or the FAAA, which is the Federal Aviation Administration Act, which allows them to fly drones over the top of your house, take pictures, and listen to your conversation inside your home. These are urgent moments. The IRS, who is denying and being used as a hammer against us, as it relates to our 501c3s or c4s or our attempt to try to organize peaceably according to the First Amendment, to peaceably assemble and to petition redress, that's an urgency. That certainly the NSA, who's reading your email right now and who is listening to your phone conversation, Those are urgency, but we're inundated. With
I agree with you 100%, but I can't knock on somebody's door and tell them that. I can't talk to my neighbor about that. I have to build trust, and I have to build a relationship first. What's the easiest way to do that? I went to the church, and I asked the minister there. I said, I'd be happy to teach the people how to write cursive writing. It was easier for me to do that than go and say, do you know that they're taking away our rights with the NDAA? Do you know what's going on with this? Do you know? They would not get that. But they do get, oh, you'll help us do that. If I can get in and do that and offer something of help, and I build a relationship, which I will have by the end of that day, I will go back and I will be bringing books and things for them to look at, which will have all the things that you're talking about, which will make it easier for us to have a conversation. Because they've painted the Tea Party people into a box. The majority, the low information voters, think we're nuts, crazy, terrorists, whatever. Now, so I'm looking for what's the simplest thing that we could communicate on so that we could get to the next step of I'm not a terrorist that wants you dead.
I love your thinking on that. But the thing that bothers me is the urgency of the moment that we're facing in America today. Our rights are going away.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how much time we have before the one crisis comes up where they suspend the Constitution. And if it goes away, it's not coming back again. And somehow we've got, what is our timeline like right now? What I see is rapid move from the Constitution, rapidly moving away from and constantly threatening our Constitution. Every day we're seeing stuff come out of Washington, D.C. that's doing that. Eventually it's going to, and people aren't recognizing it. They don't see it. Of course, we're all worried about our mortgages, worried about having a job, paying our bills on time, feeding our children. And right here in Dallas, we're all wondering if the Dallas Cowboys is going to make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's kind, that kind of superfluous, non-important stuff. And our rights are going away, going the way of a dinosaur. And I'm just nervous here that our time is short.
Because the people never learn this in school. That's this whole thing all started in school. In school, in high school, they teach right now American history starts in 1865. Of course the people think that. They have no idea of slavery. They don't understand that slavery was a horrible thing. But they don't understand the role of the Muslims that were involved in the slavery. They don't know that the first slave in America, slave owner, was black. The slave was white. That doesn't make it right, but they don't know those pieces of history. They don't know the black heroes. They don't even know who they are, and they're being told that they're world citizens. So all the things that we're talking about, they have no clue, and they are the majority that Obama seems to be able to wrap his arms around to do his bidding. And that's what that's the part that I'm trying to find. How do we get to talk to the people, like you said, that are busy worried about the Dallas Cowboys than whether or not they're going to have a country when they get up in the morning? How do you talk to them? What do they want to hear that will
That's our challenge. That's our challenge. And
I thought you had an answer. That's not fair.
Can I
break in for a moment?
Sure.
Yeah, Pastor, thank you so much for everything you're saying and everything you're doing. I'm very appreciative of what you're trying to do, and I agree with you and Karen both at the same time. We need to do something in the moment.
Yes, we do.
And the moment, in my opinion, is the next election coming up. And I had said to Karen, we don't need to talk to people about next November. If we're going to talk about next November, it's too late.
Yep.
We've got to talk about the primary coming up. If we don't get the primary right and get behind and get out and help these people run at every level, community, state, whatever. If we don't set the primary right, we've lost the election.
Yeah, we need good people to run.
Yes.
That's a big problem also, Pastor, because, you know, we've stepped back and we've let them take over the political system and the schools and the unions. And we just turned the other cheek because we were busy running our business and our family and paying attention to the things that were important to us. Now, what do we, you know, that's a huge mega monster that they have created.
It is. It is.
They're at the end of it.
I think it's absolutely right. We need to be involved and engaged in the political process. And making sure that we have people in the primary that will challenge the status quo, and that's on in both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. We need to challenge them all and replace them. And it's to the extent that we're able to do that, it's to the extent that we'll have an opportunity to make change that needs to happen in D.C. The question is, what is the goal? I think the goal is to remove our current elected officials, just to get them out. Get them out, you know, all of them. They need to go.
All of them.
That means, and once you get them out, you may have a person in there that might not be the best person, but we got another election coming up in 2 years, so we'll get another person in. But if we can get this one guy that's got this huge treasure trough of money that keeps getting reelected over and over again because nobody can dethrone him because he got all the money. So we've got to get him out. Once we get him out, the other guy doesn't have as much money. It's complicated, and it's a full opportunity. And I do believe this election cycle starts in the primary, and that means getting people out to run against everyone. No one should be safe. Everyone should be threatened at this point. And that means that we've got to change our mindset going forward. And going forward means that we've got to change Washington, D.C. by replacing those persons who are there now, and stop looking at what they've done and who's good and who's not good. All of them need to go because they've been complicit in not holding up their end of their oath to protect the Constitution. They just won't do it. They're not doing it, and we need to hold them accountable for that.
Most of them don't even know what the Constitution is, and they don't know what it says. And they have no clue what they sign because they're just little drones that sign whatever it is that the establishment, whether it's an R or a D, doesn't make any difference, whatever the establishment tells them. Neil ran for office last year. I'm running for office this year. And our goal is to spend as little as possible and make them spend as much money as possible. That's one goal. The other is to get out there and talk to as many folks as possible. But I had a thought while you were talking. So many people don't even know what the Constitution is. So what if I spoke to some of my Tea Party friends, and I said, why don't you make this a project? Why don't you offer to teach people cursive writing, and then by September 17th, you could have them reading the Constitution in its original form. Wouldn't that be an exciting project? Then they might even learn what it is, because they have no clue. It's not being taught in school. None of the stuff that we know and all of our problems are problems because they're not being taught in school. These kids are being taught that America is not important, that you don't need borders, that they're a union of, what did she say, homeland, right?
Yeah, homeland.
Dianne Feinstein the other day said that the NSA homeland is going to be Canada, America, and Mexico. Did you know that? Isn't that nice? So
people
have no idea what's happening to them.
Yeah, and they're not hiding it. I mean, what you just said that Dianne Feinstein said is the ambition of those that we elected to represent our interests and to uphold the Constitution. And they're not hiding it. It's out in the public what they want to do. We're moving towards one world government. May I say that as a pastor?
Yes,
that the Bible forecasts that we will go towards one world government. This is where we're headed, ladies. And And most of your audience need to know that this is the ambition of the power elite in America. I think it was Francis Schaeffer who asked and answered the question, what will happen when the Christian consensus is no longer in the public square or is dominant in the public square? He answers that question by saying, it will be replaced by a power elite who will arbitrarily determine what is right and what is wrong. And these who are determining that are relativists. And so relativists who believe in Darwinism, and Darwinism says to them the survival of the fittest, they think they're more intelligent than you are, they think they're more evolved than you are, and they think they're more gifted than you are, and they have a right to arbitrarily determine what's is the course of action for our nation, for our country, for our world. And this power elite is driving the issues of the day.
Yes.
Now, may I quote to you, if you allow me, just to quote to you what David Rockefeller said. I don't know what our time is like, but what David Rockefeller said, and I'll quote it to you, it just simply says it this way, and there's two quotes. He says, the first one says this, quote, we are grateful to the Washington Post, to the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promise of discretion for almost 40 years. It has been impossible, it would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright light of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supernatural sovereignty of the intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practice in the past. The second quote says this, this present window of opportunity during which is a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built will not be open for long. We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crises, and the nation will accept the new world order. This is David Rockefeller speaking at the United Nations Ambassadors Dinner. These people are moving towards one world government. That's why our Constitution is under in the crosshairs of this administration and this government, because they're moving towards one world government. The Bible has forecast that eschatologically, and people want to disregard the Bible and push it to the side and kick it under the bus. The Bible has already told us that this stuff is going to happen, and we need to recognize that and then move in concert with what God has revealed so that we might be the salt and light agents of the kingdom of God in the public square, pronouncing what God says about what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I know that Neil does also.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see those two quotes on your website.
Well, I can put them up there. I haven't put them up there yet, but I'll gladly
okay.
do that.
If you could send them to us, that would be wonderful. Do you know about the Aspen Institute?
No, I don't.
Whoa.
Tell me about it.
Oh.
Whoa,
tell
whoa.
Me about
it. Neil was uncovering this one. This was quite a find. The Aspen Institute, which is the next step up from the Frankfurt School, funded by Gates, Soros, and all of the other international
Rockefellers
fund everything, the Rockefellers, the Roosevelts, the Carnegies, whatever. Okay, and most were actually the progressive legislators go to this school. So we found Marco Rubio went there. What a surprise.
He was a graduate.
He was a graduate. All of them that are in favor of opening borders and
amnesty,
letting the illegals run amok and destroy whatever sanity we have left, they have gone to this school. And other famous graduates, what was it? Paul Ryan was in the same graduating class as Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Nice.
Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice, yes.
Pam Bundy, our Attorney General for the state of Florida.
Yes.
And the Lieutenant.
I need to put this on my webpage.
The Lieutenant Governor.
I need to get on Facebook. We need to get this information out.
Yes, we
Well,
do.
All their names are there.
Yep. All their names are there. All you have to do is, I will send you the link. All you have to do is go to their website and then go look down the left side and see the graduates of the year. It's quite
wow.
enlightening. It is quite enlightening.
Yeah.
You will be shocked, but then you won't be shocked by the people that are there, because when you realize who's there and what they're saying, you see where it comes from. So
okay, let me kind of guide him here for a moment, or for any listeners, Karen.
Okay.
On the Aspen Institute, if you want to really get an education, just type in, Google in, all together on one line. Aspen Institute, United Nations, and Club of Rome. You will get an education from day one, pictures with the people, everything about it. It will blow your mind.
Now, you were talking, Pastor, about Gramsci. In between World War One and World War Two, and at the end of World War Two, Preston Bush's company, which was Poppy Bush, his company supplied Hitler with the gas for the gas chamber, and they made a gas that didn't smell because they didn't want it to be offensive. IBM was providing Hitler with the computer so they could track the Jews. And after World War II, just after and just before, many of the Jews and Christians fled to America, but they brought with them their socialist tendencies. And at the end of the war, the hardcore Nazis came here. The FBI granted them a new identity, and they then infiltrated our universities and NASA. And this is called Operation Paperclip. And they brought with them the Frankfurt School from Germany. And from the Frankfurt School, they trained the people. Then they took the Frankfurt School back to Germany and left the Aspen Institute. So that is the history of the Aspen Institute. The person who created it was German. And this has nothing to do with the Germans being good or bad or indifferent, but this was the people from them. They were the Nazi war criminals that came here and went into our space program and into our universities. And they created a lot of what we are living with today.
Yes. Yes, I am familiar with the Frankfurt School, and I think Dewey was responsible for bringing them over and setting them up.
Yep.
I am aware of that. But I think most of us, those of us in the Patriot Movement and in the conservatism in America, are not fully aware of the extent to which these people have infiltrated all of our institutions. And a lot of our intellectuals and a lot of those who are in positions of power and authority and leadership in America have been filtered through that ideology. And it's an ideology that is anti-God. It's an ideology that is against the Judeo-Christian frame that undergirds the founding principles that made this nation great created what we know today as American exceptionalism. These people are working against it, and they're attempting to destroy it. I think it was Joseph Stalin that says America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold. One, it's patriotism, two, it's morality, and three, it's spirituality. He went on to say, if we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. Ladies, we have seen the undermining of our patriotism, of our morality is gone down the tube, and then spirituality is no longer influential in the public square. I think Joseph Stalin's strategy is being exercised and fulfilled right before our eyes.
Pastor, let me tell you something, too. In Florida, we have 67 counties here. And this is one thing with Karen on the education part of it, it's been a number of years that they are teaching evolution in our schools. Evolution destroys the child's belief in Christianity. They don't have time to teach true history. That's what I have been told from our capital. But we have time to teach this. And I was told that evolution, I shouldn't be concerned or worried about it because it's only a science myth. I was told this by our education department from the state of Florida, and my answer was, wait a minute. We can't teach true history, but we can teach science myth that destroys the child's belief in Christianity. They couldn't answer me. They didn't want to even try.
No.
Wow.
Why do you think that so many of the clergy are silent? I'm so surprised. I would have thought that they would understand what's going on in Egypt, and they certainly knew what went on in World War II, and yet they're silent. I don't understand.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, let me say that in response to the what you're saying about what the superintendent, I think, said to you about teaching.
One of the heads of education in the capital.
What I was hearing when you said that, I was hearing Karl Marx, who said,
yeah,
my goal in life is to dethrone God and to destroy capitalism. I don't know if you ladies recognize it, but that's precisely what is happening in America today. But to answer your question, Karen, there's two reasons why I believe that the church has been silent on this issue. Number one reason is that they are afraid. And the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear. That's from Satan. And they have bought the satanic lie that if they say anything political, that the government will come in and snatch their 501c3. Which I think is absolutely absurd, because there's not one church in America that has ever lost its right to preach the gospel because they've lost a 501c3. And besides, the First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or forbid the free exercise thereof. But no one wants to stand up and test that. Well, I did back in 2008 when about 17 pastors stood up and went through and did an endorsement across our pulpit, record the tape, and send it right into the IRS and said, I'm endorsing this person. What are you going to do about it? And by the way, I have yet to hear from the IRS on that at all, period. That was back in 2008. Second reason, Karen, why I believe that the church is silent is found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says this, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the traditions of men and the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Jesus Christ. We are living in a moment of intensified spiritual activity, and part of the activity of the left is deception. The Bible says that in the last days, a deluding spirit will go out and deceive them. And the church is sitting as cowards behind their pulpits and hiding in their pews because they have been deceived with what Paul calls here an empty deception. That is a deception that has no substance to it. If they would stand up and resist the devil, the Bible says he will flee, but they will not stand up. And that gives the devil and the dark side unfettered access to our culture, to our society. And there are five issues where they're winning the day. Abortion on demand, 55 million babies have been killed. Euthanasia, the mercy killing of old folks, embryonic stem cell research, where they're taking stem cells from dead babies and doing experimentation with flavoring of our foods, with Nestle's, with Pepsi Cola, and with Kraft Foods, who are sponsoring it. I don't eat none of their food nor buy none of it. The third thing is that they're doing human cloning. They just successfully did human cloning about 2 weeks ago inside of a Petri dish. And then finally, the fifth one that most people don't understand, that they redefine marriage in America against God's definition of one man, one woman. And we have lost the day on those five issues. The church is hiding in the pulpits and hiding in the pews while they've surrendered the culture over to those five issues: abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, human cloning, and same-sex marriage. We have lost our right to say anything about it right now. The culture has dismissed us and kicked us under the bus with the babies, and we no longer have influence in the public school.
So we actually, if we got together and stopped allowing them to divide us, then we do have a lot of influence, because the only thing they're missing right now is the vote. And the only way we can get the vote is if we work together on it, because I still believe that the majority of the people are against this. And I just read something before that there in first in the Islamic religion right now, they have told us on numerous occasions that their intent is to fly the Muslim flag over the White House in 2015. Well, they are now building a $100 million mega mosque right outside of D.C. in Maryland. These people are serious. And if we don't get our ministers and people on board of understanding that something is wrong and that we can do something about it, we're not going anywhere. And that's just, that's the biggest thing. We can talk to the upper 10%. 10% of the 70% believe with us, but how do you get to talk to the 50% or the 60% that shuts you out because you're not a Kardashian or some nonsense?
That's true.
Well, the truth of the matter is that the other side controls the media, and they're controlling the message, and we've got to find a way to get around it. Certainly Blog Talk Radio is one way to do it.
Well, we put out a newspaper.
Yeah, we've got to find other vehicles to do it, and we got to force our way into the discourse and force our way to the public square using methodologies and systems that will help us to penetrate the wall of silence that media has created by.
Well, that was why I was coming up with Never Let a Good Crisis Go to War, where go to waste. They've already created the crisis for us. If we use cursive writing, and everybody's screaming about Common Core right now anyway, so this just becomes another thing to scream about, but it lets a person who might be conservative and not able to verbalize be able to go to talk to a different group that may not be of their same, you know, they always say, go find somebody who believes what you believe and hang with them. Well, we've got to get out of that because we're going to run out of us. We
Karen,
need to get to the rest of the people.
Hey, excuse me, Karen, real quick. Just to let you know, we've got our number one fan from Texas out there who might want to chime in on some of this.
I'm sure.
And I have a feeling she's got a lot to say on this one. So, Miss Texas, you're on.
So.
Hi, y'all.
Hi.
I was going to be satisfied with just sitting and listening, but you got off into an area I just can't sit and listen to. It's been a wonderful conversation out there. And I don't know the lady that's been speaking. I have to agree with her about what they're doing to our kids and everything. But I also have to talk about, and you waited so long to get me on, I've just about forgot what I want to talk about. It's the thing with the schools. We have got to, there's no ifs, ands, and the ministers. Let me go to the ministers. That's where I wanted to go in the first place. There was, you were talking about the fact that the ministers are worried about losing their tax exemption status because of the Johnson law that Johnson wrote prior to his leaving office. Well, I was listening to Glenn Beck the other day, and they checked this out with the IRS, and the IRS, there's no way they can come back and take their standing as far as taxation away from them.
No, we even have a letter on our website that says they can't.
Yeah,
that's
I found
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, you've got to, and I understand it's a matter of getting these people over being afraid.
That's the key.
That's
well, you know what else, too? Stop and think. I mean, it's not going to happen, definitely. But even if they lost their exemption for the churches, did Jesus need a church to teach and to speak?
I've been saying that for years. The good Lord did not need a million-dollar church.
That's okay, right?
I mean, he spread the word sitting on the rock.
That's right.
He did not need an air-conditioned church. And you can manage. If saving this country has got to be the most important thing on people's minds, and if we don't get it out there for them to understand it, as you've been saying, we're a lost cause.
Yep. But we've got to get the kids back in church, and unfortunately that'll go back to Karen's side because of we've lost a decade and more of teaching people what the right movement is. So, of course, the kids aren't in church because of the parents.
Well,
Pastor, every time somebody has pushed back when they said they're going to take Jesus down or they're going to take God out of something and people have pushed back, they've won. That's what I don't understand. When the people push back, they win. Where are the people?
Yeah.
Where are the Christians? I'm so mad at the Jews, I can't even begin to tell you. I'm Jewish. I am furious. They got their heads back in the ovens. Somebody said to me, why are you doing this? And I said, my family went on the train to the oven once. I'm not doing it again.
Amen.
Well, I've done that. Not interested.
Amen.
Not this child. Only good in the burka.
Ladies, I tell you, if I could just give you an illustration as to what's going on here. In most circuses, when they have an elephant, a baby elephant, they chain that baby elephant with a heavy chain and put a peg in the ground. And when that baby elephant hits that chain and pulls against it, it knows it can't go any further, and it can't go. By the time it becomes conditioned in its mind, it can't do that. When it becomes a full-grown elephant, you notice they only have a little stake in the ground and a rope tied around it. But when he feels the tug of that rope, he won't even try to pull any further.
Right.
Because
right.
we have been conditioned in the church to fear the government. And I think it was someone that says that if you fear the government, that is tyranny. When the government fears you, that is liberty. We are conditioned to be afraid in the church of losing a 501c3. God did not call us to have a 501c3. I think that's what the lady was saying. He called us to be his witness, the prophetic voice in the marketplace, the salt and light agent of the kingdom of God, advancing the gospel and the good news in the public square, speaking power to authority, and challenging the culture on abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, human cloning, and the redefinition of marriage. But the church is silent. It's silent. And I think they have been conditioned to be silent. They're like that baby elephant.
Well, I want to ask you something. You're in Texas, right? Ministry
yes,
ma'am.
Is? That's right.
Okay.
There's no better place than liberty-loving Texas. I'm one of them.
That's good. Me, too. Born, reared, and, boy, I get out of whack in here sometimes, and Sally has to quiet me down. But I wanted to ask you a question. Do you discuss these matters with your parishioners?
I preach it every Sunday. I preach it every Sunday because it's contemporary, it's current events, it's how we're going to have to live out our faith. The church is in the crosshairs of the Obama administration. They're trying to sit on the church. They're trying to reorganize the church. They're trying to dictate to the church what it should do. And if a preacher's not preaching that, they're not preaching the truth right now.
They've lost the privileged right to stand behind the pulpit as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I would agree with you there.
Because they are not doing God's work. They are not protecting God's church. They're protecting the church's billfold.
Exactly.
Right.
And God called us to a billfold. He called us to be witnesses of the kingdom of God, advancing his purposes. And he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glories. Not man.
Right. That's
it. Blessed is the man, I think it says in the Old Testament, Karen, it says, blessed is the man who trusts
in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's the thing that, okay, that's the one I'm racking my brain on, because one of the things that we did is we have a newspaper, and it's called the American Patriot News, and the Tea Parties have been putting it out in locations, in counties. I think we're in 30 counties in Florida, and we have a lot of places throughout the country. And we're
nine other states,
people, yeah, and nine other states. And in this newspaper, which has federal news, state news, and local news, we're telling the real news, the truthful news. And we made it into a paper because we realized that the low-information voter is not online seeking out Reason Magazine or the American Thinker or Church and Family. They're busy shopping and Kardashian and all this other nonsense that they do, and apping and gaming. And we have to talk, we have to be able to reach them, because they're really the ones that are going to dictate the way this goes. And I know they're not happy. And they know, you know, they're not happy, but communicating is the hard part.
I would love to see the pastor write an article for our newspaper.
Oh, would you?
We'll be glad to.
We would be ever so, so grateful to try to make the ministers understand that they have an obligation to protect their congregation, to lead them where Christ would want them to be led.
What do you want, 500 to 800 words?
700, 800. That would be fantastic.
That would be fantastic. That really.
And of course, we have to have a picture of you too, because that goes with the article.
I'll do it. I think Karen, if you send me an email, I'll get your email and send it back.
Yes, I will.
We would be very proud to have you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You said something really, really good when I was talking to you during the week, Neil. And you said that God did not give America to the elite.
I said to our board of commissioners, yes. I let them more or less know that God did not give this world to a select few to determine how the rest of us are to live and where to live and how to live. That's what I told my board of commissioners.
You're so good.
I've told them a lot worse, I'll tell you.
Well, we know that, but...
I did. I told them the last time I spoke, I said this at the end. I said to them that I never thought I would see the day where I would have to fight on American soil for American liberty against Americans. And, of course, I get no answer no matter what. So, but I don't quit.
You know that you have a nerve.
You cannot quit. Pastor, we're reaching the end of our show, and we'd love to have you back again. But before we leave, I want you to tell everybody where they can reach you and what your website is.
Certainly. We are pushing a petition right now that is consistent with the fifth platform in the First Amendment. There are five ideas that the Founding Fathers included in the First Amendment. The fifth one is to peaceably assemble and petition redress or grievance. The word redress there means a remedy for a fault or an ill or a wrong that has been perpetrated against we the people. And I think that's the first step that we can take in terms of demanding that our representatives nullify all unconstitutional acts. At cdotx.com, that's cdotx.com, we have a list of over 35 unconstitutional acts that our government has been involved in. We've taken those acts and those legislations to a constitutional lawyer, and they have affirmed to us that every last one of them are against the Constitution. We included it in a petition. You sign that petition by clicking on sign the petition, drop your zip code into that box, and it will pull up who your representative is and who your senator is, and you can send an electronic letter to them demanding that they nullify the unconstitutional acts that we've included in the letter, which are the top five grievances, egregious acts that they have done against us. So that's the first step, and we want you to go to the website, cdotx.com. You'll see that we have a website that has a list of all the violations, an opportunity for you to sign our petition. Just think, just imagine a million signatures going in across the country with people who are saying we want Obamacare nullified.
That would be wonderful.
They'd have to pay attention. But if we don't do it, just sit back and complain and moan and grind and whine, you know, we're the worst off for that. We need to act. And I think that's what I hear Karen saying, that we need to act something. This is something simple. It's easy to do. Go to CDOTX.
And you know what? This is something they can take to their neighbors also. Get to know your neighbors. Get to be the person that they trust so that when the people run for office or have a horrible bill, they come to you and say, what should I do? And not go to somebody who's going to give them wrong information or bad information.
That petition should
be
in our paper with his website.
Yes, we'll get it.
And also, I have five churches that carry our paper, and I think it would be a wonderful thing to put an insert in the paper one time with this petition and the pastor's website with it. I know these pastors that are working with us here would be very grateful for that.
You bet. Well, I'll try to get my article. I'm going to go to work on my article tomorrow and try to get it to you ladies before the week is out so you can publish that. You need to have it published.
Thank you, God bless you, sir.
So
much. Thank you for joining us. Thank you all for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
This has been a fabulous show. We have enjoyed everything. And, folks, one thing we can tell you is everything we tell you is the truth. And there's only one version of the truth. And when I went out last week and somebody said, gee, Karen, I'm listening to you, and the other guy told me exactly the same thing, I said, that's because there's only one version of the truth. Folks, the truth is important, and we have to share it with as many people as we know. And you are listening and have listened to American Freedom Watch Radio. This is your host, Karen Schoen. John is out right now. And thank you. Good night, Miss Neal.
Good night. Thank you, everyone.
And Pastor. And
we have to have the pastor back again.
Yes, we do. God bless you all. God bless America. And remember, victory is our only option. Thank you for joining us.
Amen.
Amen. God bless America.
Night, all.
Good night.
Good night.